We'll go south of the Florida Keys in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the not-so-tropical confines of the Rain Studios, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this Rain Report. As we go to press, the call sign T42US is not a familiar call to many, yet. But that will soon change. T42US is the call sign of a historic ham radio outreach between the United States and Cuba, coming to the HF ham bands October 21st through the 28th from Havana, Cuba. Its mastermind is Jim Milner, WB2REM.
As I noticed that the opening towards our relationship with Cuba was improving, I felt that there must be a way of doing this. In 1991, I was able to apply for one of the four licenses issued to U.S. hams to operate out of communist Russia. So I figured if I was able to do that, I might find an opening to bring U.S. hams to Cuba. Back in February, I approached the Treasury Department after doing some research to try to get a general license in order to bring a group to Cuba. One reason is it was important to me is because my parents did their honeymoon in Cuba in 1948 in Havana, and I've had an itching to go there. This is totally a non-political sort of trip and operation. We as ham radio operators are diplomats. It's just a perfect opportunity to get in there and to present a good side of the American people through ham radio. In any case, I approached the Treasury Department for a general license, and within a few weeks, surprisingly, they granted it under exhibition status. There's different levels that you can go there, at least at this time. One of them was competition. The competition that we thought would be appropriate would be the CQ Worldwide SSB EX contest. So once I had that permission, I had the obstacle of trying to find out how to get there and to find someone that might sponsor me there, and I really had no idea how to go about it. My first inclination was to go to my log, which I have numerous contacts from Cuba, and contact every CO2 station, a designation for Havana, and ask them how I go about it. Just by luck, I hit the vice president of the FRC, the Cuban Federation de Radio Aficionados Cuba, similar to our ARRL. He contacted the president of the organization, Mr. Rodriguez, and at the same time, I enlisted the help of K1ZZ, Dave Sumner, CEO of the ARRL. And he sent a personal letter of recommendation to Mr. Rodriguez on my behalf. He, in turn, put me in touch with Roberto Ibarro, CM2KL, who speaks English fluently. We decided on the call Tango 42US, which we also have a website, tango42us.com, which has a lot of the information of our expedition on that website. This is not just the CQ Worldwide DX contest, but it is a conglomeration of activities, including the exhibition part, which is we're going to have a conference at the Federation Building in Havana, in which we're going to present new technologies in ham radio, including remote linking, RFI interference, propagation, and they're going to present to us information on life as a ham radio operator in Cuba. At the end of that conference, we will be administering for the first time in history volunteer VE exams in Havana, which is unheard of. I think that there are about three or four Cuban operators that will be taking the U.S. amateur radio exams there. Whether they'll be able to use it immediately, I'm not sure, but they feel that this is important for them. If any day they visit the U.S., they'll be able to employ their U.S. calls. Secondly, we're going to operate T42US during that whole week that we're there from October 21st to October 28th. We have a shack that we will be setting up on the beach outside of Havana, about 15 miles away. It's going to have three stations going, two during the contest, in which will be seven Cuban operators. CM2KL Bob will be heading. Eight U.S. operators, including four YL operators, which is very unusual. Some of them very high-powered operators. One is Nancy, K9DIG. She's a contest operator, has been in net control for the YL system. Stephanie, WX3K, a contest operator from Pennsylvania. Ruthie, KC4BAB, and then my wife, KA2MGR. And as far as I know, ever since I've talked to Cuba, I cannot remember ever talking to a young lady operator in Cuba. The U.S. operators were carefully chosen people that have good diplomatic skills as well as operating skills. One is Mark, WC3W from Jupiter, Florida. Gordon, WB0TKL from St. Louis. John, KK4SHF from Fort Pierce, Florida. And myself, WB2REM. So we have a nice group of people that will present a good picture for us and hopefully present a good score during the contest. The third part of our operation will be after the contest, which will be a banquet. We will be inviting all the operators and their wives as well as Mr. Rodriguez, the president and vice president of FRC, will be there as well. And that's all within a week's time. Somewhere in between, we plan to visit a cigar factory and drink some mojitos and have some of the normal Havana life there. But we have a pretty busy week here during our exhibition expedition.
When you administer the VE session in Havana and several of your examinees do pass, do you know for sure that the FCC will allocate American hall signs to them outside the United States?
Hap, that's a really good question. That's something we research very carefully. I contacted the ARL licensing VE exams area. They assured me that it's perfectly legal. It's similar to, let's say, somebody from Japan comes to Dayton Hamvention and they take a VE exam there. They'll issue a U.S. call. The only hang-up here is that they have to have an address in which to tie the call to. For example, Bob CM2KL is going to take his test down there in Havana. He will use my address, and the ARR will make sure that they can assign an FRN number to him. It's been cleared and perfectly legal to do.
You're listening to a conversation with Jim Milner, WB2REM, the man behind the T-42U.S. United States-Cuban de-expedition, during which 8 American and 7 Cuban hams will make ham radio history, scheduled for October 21st through the 28th in Havana, Cuba. We'll conclude Hap Holly KC9RP's Skype conversation with Jim Milner after I remind you that the Rain Report is observing 25 years in production on therainreport.com, via Twitter at #TheRainReport, and in iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
What kind of logistical challenges run into?
Oh, yeah, that's, again, a very good question. It's a lot more in-depth than I had ever thought. Number one is that the charter flight that we're taking from Miami only allows for 44 pounds. And that 44 pounds includes everything that you're carrying, your backpack, your computer, your luggage you carry into the cabin and what you store away. So considering that we're taking a good deal of radio equipment, we've had to devise a system where we can equally spread out the amount of equipment that we're taking among each of the 9 of us that are going. It comes to about 10 or 11 pounds per carry-on luggage that we carry onto the plane, leaving us only about 30 to carry into the compartment with our clothes and whatever. That is one logistics in itself. Another is the clearing of customs in Havana is critical, and we've made arrangements so that we're separating our equipment. We have to document every piece of wire, every piece of cabling, connectors, or transceivers with serial numbers that we have. Because of the embargo from the U.S. into Cuba, everything that we take into Cuba, we have to bring out. So what they'll be doing is grabbing our luggage when we come into the airport in Havana and bringing it into a separate customs area where a customs official, their FCC person, and a representative of the FRC, their federation, will meet the luggage there and review everything through a list of what we have and what we're bringing in so that it can be checked when we leave the country. So that's another little logistic hassle. Another hassle we have is that this is a self-supported operation. We don't have commercial sponsors, so everything that we're doing is being provided by us, and any activity that we do in Havana is also be providing. We'll be paying for the banquet for the people that are becoming and that sort of thing. One interesting thing I didn't mention is we'll be renting a car that'll be taking us from our hotel in downtown Havana to the contest station where we'll be at 15 miles away. Incidentally, that will be a 4-door 1956 Chevy hardtop that will be taking us to and from the downtown area. So we have to arrange transportation 15 miles. The Cuban members will be staying at the shack and operating while we're not there as well. So we have logistics of equipment. We also have issues related to communications. The cell phones really don't work well down there. No good internet connections. We're trying to get something, a DSL at the shack, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Power failures, and we're worried about losing it at the contest station during the contest. And when we try to get material in Cuba, you can understand the obstacles. They would want us to rent a generator for 6 months at $200 a day instead of just giving us one for 3 days at $200 a day. There's equipment shortages and not the same delivery systems that we have here that make it difficult. But Bob CM2KL is doing a fantastic job on the Cuban side of this operation.
I would imagine that the RFI levels won't be nearly what they are here in the States.
Actually, our location, which is 15 miles outside of Havana, is about 600 yards from the beach, and there's only a few houses around us, and there's some good fields to put up antennas. It's not going to be all hard living. There will be a swimming pool around there and a little restaurant next door, and that we're probably going to have our banquet out there, but it's still going to be a little bit different than what we're used to. We're really looking forward to it, and we wanted to make this a family thing so that the operators have their wives that are licensed, that are pretty active, will be socializing with the XYLs of the Cuban hams. So we're really going to integrate within their families. One other thing, Nancy, K9DIG, is a published author. She's ran the Iditarod, and she's written two children's books. Part of the operation, she will be visiting a special education school in Havana, reading one of her books to the students at the special education school. So we're doing a little bit of outreach in that way.
What can you tell me about the operating positions that you'll have for CQ Worldwide there from Havana?
There's two different operations. There's the CQ Worldwide, and there's the regular week that will be there from October 21st to the 28th. During the contest, we'll be operating 160 through 10 meters. We will be bringing down ICOM 706 Mark II Gs. Modern transceivers are hard to find there. And that's not even modern transceivers, but we needed some transceivers that were light. But they have the bigger sort of things, like the kilowatts, the two-element 40-meter beam. There's a five-element tri-bander for 10, 15, and 20, and wire antennas for 80 and 160. So we're covered pretty well that way. We're bringing some bandpass filters so we don't interfere with each station. One exciting thing that we'll be doing on the off days of the contest is we understand that 60 meters has never been open to amateur radio operation there. We've been granted special permission under the call Tango 42 United States to operate on the 60-meter band. The only problem with that is that their frequency is different than our frequency. So I've made contact with the 60-meter Yahoo Forum group, and I've announced that we will be transmitting on a frequency such as 4425, which is out of our U.S. band, and listening on the crystallized, the 2DX frequencies of the U.S. band, so that we'll be able to operate split, and it'll be a new country on everybody that operates 60 meters. We have a beautiful commemorative QSL card that we're going to be giving out. We have a logo, which has two hands shaking together, one with the American flag on and one with the Cuban flag. And on the front of the QSL card, it has the capital, Havana, along with many old cars on the street, a very colorful card there. So anybody that works us, it's going to be a really great card to hang up on your wall. As I said before, we are a self-supported operation. If you want to help our operation, we have information on the T42US.com site. Any sort of support would be appreciated. It's going to be a very great experience.
And that concludes our sneak preview of the historic T42US US-Cuban de-expedition coming to the HF ham bands October 21st through the 28th from the beaches near Havana, Cuba. RAIN's founder-producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, spoke with T42US team leader Jim Milner, WB2REM, one of eight Americans preparing to join seven Cuban hams to add to the unusual call signs you'll encounter during the CQ Worldwide Contest the weekend of October 23rd. And if you're not familiar with the CQ Worldwide Contest, check out the RAIN archive page for our preview of CQ Worldwide 2015 from 2 weeks ago. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2015 RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, on behalf of everyone associated with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from The RAIN Report. Accessible on therainreport.com, via Twitter at #TheRainReport, and in iTunes. Coming next week, some insights into the rechargeable battery industry from the marketing director of Batteries America.